There had been abuse in my family, but it was mostly musical in nature.
I don't want any of this lover's lament crap. I want something peppy, something happy, something up-tempo. I want something snappy.
As every music fan knows, a good mix is more than just a bunch of tracks. It's a chance to showcase the songs you love and do it with style. I'm Greg Kot from the Chicago Tribune.
And I'm Jim DeRogatis from WBEZ and Columbia College. In our last goodbye to 2013, we want to salute some of the tunes that really wowed us, so we'll pop in our year-end mixtapes. That's all coming up on Sound Opinions. You're listening to Sound Opinions, and Greg, we have made a New Year's resolution. We really want to answer more of our listeners' questions in this coming year. We love talking to our listeners.
Yes, and we got a bunch of questions, so it's time for Ask the Critic.
In the sky. Oh, so don't ask me no questions now, baby. And I won't tell you no lie.
Yes, we got a lot of questions, and you out there can ask us questions as well. Email us at interact@soundopinions.org, post on Facebook or Twitter, or give us a call at 888-859-1800.
Greg, we got two questions that are sort of related. Pete Shulman emailed us, how do you tell the difference between an album that's bad and an album that just wasn't made for you? Also, we get a comment on Facebook. Lee Posdol wrote, I've just seen the movie Heckler, a comedy documentary about criticism and heckling, which makes me ask, can you fairly review an artist you may think sucks? This is meant as a serious question, he assured us. Yes, I think you can fairly review any artist because I don't personally believe that in art there is any one single objective standard that covers everything. I mean, you know, Bob Dylan can't sing, right? But for some people, Bob Dylan's the greatest singer in the history of rock, okay? You can only critique something from your emotional reaction to that work of art. Now, what separates it from mere opinion is you back it up with context, evidence, and insight. You and I are pretty much on the same page in that definition of criticism. I can only tell you how I see this art and start the conversation rolling. And I want to be moved by any piece of art, even when I've had a bad experience with an artist. I've seen Britney Spears in concert half a dozen times. I've reviewed all of her albums. I've interviewed her. I am pretty certain I do not like Britney Spears. But when I start to play the new Britney Spears album, when I go to see her in concert again, I want to like this music. What kind of a masochistic person would I be if I went out and said, I want to have a lousy time tonight?
No, Jim, it's like one of those things, if you walk into a show or into a record thinking, I'm going to hate this, you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't review it. The way I look at it, you know, we're journalists, we're writers, we're critics. I'm looking to educate, illuminate, entertain when I'm writing something about any artist. It doesn't matter who it is. That, to me, is a fascinating exercise. I once got an assignment that, to me, was the most loathsome assignment I could possibly imagine for a serious music critic, or even an unserious one like me.
You had to review one of my books? Or
well,
what?
No. And even worse than that, let me tell you, I had to go do a week-long piece on the Yanni phenomenon. Remember when Yanni was ripping up PBS and everybody was pledging lots of dollars to PBS because Yanni concerts were on? Okay, what is making this guy tick? I mean, he was huge in the late 90s. I have never listened to a piece of Yanni music before then or after then, but for that 1 week, I immersed myself in the world of Yanni, and I enjoyed it. It was fascinating talking to the guy. It was fascinating going to the show and seeing how people were reacting about it. It was fascinating to write about it. It was a fun exercise for me. So hopefully that answers your question, Pete and Lee. We also got a voicemail from another listener, Thomas Carey.
Hi, this is Tom listening to Sound Opinions in Maine. And I'm wondering what you guys think are the best psychedelic albums of 2013.
A bunch of psychedelic records on both of our lists this year, Jim. Wooden Ships, a record we both liked quite a bit in the psychedelic vein. I had that Brazilian group Bogarins on my list. We talked about the Warlocks recently. Yep. I love this Dark Side record. I think it's a very psychedelic sounding record.
Paper trails on a mountain and fruits on a table. A wooden house to live in. Baby, take care of.
And for something we haven't talked about lately, but a band that I've loved for a long time, didn't make my top 20, but they probably would have been in the top 30, is the Besnard Lakes out of Montreal. I think they made a fine record yet again. It's called Until In Excess, Imperceptible UFO. If that's not a psychedelic album title, I don't know what is.
Greg, we got a post from Jonathan Lee on Facebook. He succinctly asks, why such a preference for the underground? I assume he means music that is not on major labels, music that's flying under the radar without a lot of hype. Jonathan, I think you're wrong there in saying that we prefer the underground. I think that distinction doesn't mean much in 2014. You know, when music is accessible to anyone instantly, used to be an independent label and you used to have to search for something in the 80s, I think it means less and less. There is more room for creativity and spectacular successes and spectacular failures to experiment, to push the envelope in what we could call the underground, people who aren't concerned about great commercial sales. We sometimes highlight artists like that, indie or Willis Earl Beal. But, you know, then again, Kanye West's last album, the one before Yeezus, was very experimental, and it was designed to sell as many copies as humanly possible. I honestly, you know, want to talk about music on this show and share music with you that I'm excited about, whether it's selling 10 million copies or selling 10,000. Greg, you feel that way?
I'm looking for amplified personality, Jim. I don't care where it comes from, major, minor, indie, whatever you want to call it. I would say that if you are working for the Sony Musics of the world, you are probably beholden to more people for their jobs. There is more pressure on those artists to appeal to as wide an audience as possible, and as a result, buff down some of their rough edges. I'm more interested in the artistic act of creating music. What makes an individual unique? And that doesn't necessarily play well on the mainstream level, and maybe that's why we gravitate more towards the individual, the artist who is making art for art's sake.
Greg, we have one more post from a listener from Great Neck, New York. Chili Mac Klein asks, how awkward is it to have to meet with a musician after you've slammed his or her work in the past? Greg, this one's for you.
Yeah, well, it happens, you know, and it has happened quite frequently over the last 20 years. You eventually are going to end up face-to-face with the person that you have slammed in some review if they have any sort of career at all. Jim, there actually was one example that pops immediately into my head. Neil Young had just put out a song called basically Why Do I Keep Effing Up? And this was on the heels of a run of bad albums that he had made, or at least bad albums in my opinion, in the 80s. And I began an interview saying, well, this song appears to be about your recorded output of the last decade. And the interview began with about 2 minutes of silence where Neil Young was basically staring at me. But actually, he gave me a very reasoned response, so the interview got back on track. But for a minute there, I was pretty fearful. I can think of people like Tom Petty, Bono, DJ Shadow, Weezer, Sonic Youth, Bob Mould, T-Bone Burnett, Liz Phair. The list goes on. You know, people say, well, I don't read my critics. Yes, they read their critics, and they can quote verbatim stuff that was written about them by you months, years ago, in fact. My response to that is, have absolute conviction about what you're writing. I always believe that you should be able to stand in front of that artist, stand 5 feet away from them, and read aloud whatever it is you've written about them. Be honest, do your homework, don't make it personal, and then if you believe in those words that you've written, you can have an honest discussion with that artist, as I have with many of these artists that believe I have gotten something wrong about their art. Although I will say that at one point, an artist who was really ticked off at me, poured a beer on my head.
So if you've got something to ask us critics, email interact@soundopinions.org, post on Facebook, tweet at Sound Opinions, or call 888-859-1800.
You're listening to Sound Opinions. I'm Greg Kot with Jim DeRogatis. And at this time every year, Jim, we like to present our annual mixtapes as one final gift to our listeners, basically assembling songs that we individually loved into a mixtape. You know, Jim, we've talked about this a number of times, but I spent my youth making mixtapes for my friends. This is the way we exchanged music. But I also liked the idea of being able to sort of tell a story about yourself through the songs you chose. I still believe in that idea, that these mixtapes can sort of tell something about the maker of the mixtape as much as they do about the artists we are highlighting. You can listen to our individual mixtapes at soundopinions.org. And I know you've spent an inordinate amount of time. Usually you sort of dismiss this
a little bit in the past,
but this year it seems to have been a little different for you.
I mean, I think pretty much we are on equal footing here, but you are the king of the mixtape, and I just have always felt I can't compete. But this year I thought I would highlight one of these inside baseball rock critic debates. Now, years ago, there was this argument that there were two kinds of rock critics. There were the rockists and there were the popists. And now the debate has renewed, I think, in the last year or two with a new generation of young 20-something critics who call themselves poptimists. Mm. Poptimism says you shouldn't dismiss, say, Taylor Swift just because 10 million 9-year-old girls love her. She might have something as valid to say as savages. And we both believe that. So to counteract this notion that I am a rockist or a poptimist, I'm schizophrenic. I'm a poptimist and a rockist. Mm-hmm. I did a mixtape in two halves. So I'm going to start by highlighting some of my pure pop pleasures. And I have to start with that song Royals by Lorde. You and I had a significant fight about this when we reviewed the record. You think she's a young woman who's kind of, you know, doesn't have a plan and doesn't have much to say. And I think this song Royals in particular, where she's singing about growing up in the middle of nowhere, but daring to dream big. So I'm going to go from that sublime piece of pop to something pretty ridiculous. This song, The Fox, is a wonderful piece of just pop ephemera. And I think these two brothers from Norway, Bard and Vegard Ylvisaker, these guys are pop parodists who record songs and make these videos. This video for The Fox went viral a couple of months ago. And I think that this is a supremely silly piece of dance pop. What does the fox say? They're asking, you know, and the fox says ding da da ding da ding ding da ding, right? And then they all jump around in fox costumes. Yeah, it's really silly. At least that's my poptimist take on it. Now you can again hear our entire mixes, stream them at soundopinions.org. But here's the first two songs on my mixtape. It's Royals by Lorde and The Fox by Ylvis on Sound Opinions.
In a torn up town, no postcode envy, but every song's like gold teeth, gray goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care, we're driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care, we aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royal.
Royals.
We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
Ruler.
You can call me Queen Bee.
And baby, I'll rule.
I'll rule.
I'll rule.
Let me live that fantasy.
My friends and I, we've cracked the code. We count our dollars on the train to the party. And everyone who knows us knows
that we're fine with this. We didn't come for money,
but every song's like gold teeth, gray goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care.
in our dreams. But everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royal. It's a run in our blood. That kind of luck's just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
That was Royals by Lorde and the Fox by Elvis, the first two tracks on my mixtape for 2013. We're going to take a quick break on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX. Then I'll continue playing more of my favorite songs of the year.
What does the fox say? The secret of the fox, ancient mystery. Somewhere deep in the woods, I know you're hiding. What is your sound? Will we ever know? We'll always be a mystery. What do you think?
back to Sound Opinions. I'm Jim DeRogatis. My partner is Greg Kot, and that's a song called Husbands by Savages. It's a band we haven't talked much about this year on Sound Opinions, but they end my mixtape. They are the culmination of my rockist side of the mixtape. But I'm going to continue to play some more from the poppist side, Greg. Blurred Lines, Any Way You Cut It, was the single of the year, right? I mean, there's no way you made it through this year unless you were in a coma and didn't hear that song. But you know what I thought of every time I heard the tune?
What?
The Fat Albert theme song. Because it's such a fine line between hey, 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 and hey, hey, hey. There are a million mashups out there on YouTube of the Fat Albert theme, Bill Cosby's old song, and Blurred Lines. And I'm playing one that comes from a DJ Schoolio. This is his mashup. Also, never trust a critic. You and I say this every time we talk to a class, anytime we're asked. You know, never trust a critic who on occasion does not double back on his or herself. Sometimes you live with the music and your opinion grows more positive or more negative. I think we underrated. I know I underrated the Daft Punk album when it came out. I want to say I think it jumped in my estimation the more I played it throughout the year. I'm going to play a tune from that Daft Punk wonderful dance pop record called Get Lucky. And then here's the big confession. I initially, when we were talking about the last episode of Breaking Bad, I thought that Baby Blue by Badfinger was the exact wrong choice. I thought it was worse than Journey ending The Sopranos. I thought it was the wrong choice to end Breaking Bad. I don't know. My wife and I went back and we have now watched the show again from the very first episode all the way to row to the finale, and I don't know what I was thinking the first time. It's the perfect song. I was just wrong, all right? I was wrong. Mea culpa. Baby Blue is a great song. It was a great song to end that show, and it was very much, even though it's, you know, 25 years old now, it was a song of the year for me. So here are three more from the poptimist side of my mixtape 2013. Blurred Lines, Fat Albert mashup, Get Lucky by Daft Punk, and Baby Blue by Badfinger on Sound Opinions.
Coming at you with music and fun. And if you're not careful, you may learn something before it's done. Hey, hey, hey!
You're listening to Sound Opinions and my mixtape of 2013.
Time without a word.
That was Baby Blue by Badfinger, and before that we heard Daft Punk with Get Lucky, and then Robin Thicke's Blurred Lines mashed up with Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids from DJ B. Schoolio. That's all from My Mixtape 2013.
To listen to our complete mixes, go to soundopinions.org and tell us what songs define 2013 for you. Call 888-859-1800. When we come back after a quick break on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX, I'll play the DJ.
Yeah, this was your city. You did it all and more, broke every law except for one, babe. Attraction, are you ready? I know you feel it, pull you nearer till you feel it again. Oh, I wanna do something right, but we could do something better. There ain't no time like tonight, and we ain't trying to save it for later. Stay out here living the life, yeah. Nobody cares who we are tomorrow, come on now. And I've got that little something I like, the little something I've been wanting to borrow. Tonight's the night, come on, surrender. I won't lead your love astray. My brain makes drugs to keep me slow. A hilarious joke for some dead pharaoh. But now not even the masons know what drug will keep that from coming.
Welcome back to Sound Opinions. I'm Greg Kot with Jim DeRogatis, and that's a track called Night Still Comes from Nico Case, which is the title of my 2013 mixtape. I thought it sort of fit the theme that I was going for. What I found in a lot of the songs that I was playing around with Jim in terms of when I was considering what I wanted to put on this mixtape, they all had ghosts in them. It was kind of this weird coincidence. Like, all these songs were talking about something that was from the past. A lot of these songs were mentioning ghosts in some ways. And I'm thinking about ghosts not in just in terms of dead people necessarily, but memories or people we loved or we never got the chance to love. They seem to be more vivid in these songs, in the narrator's lives, than the people who are actually in their lives right now. So they're constantly living in this sort of past life that they had and remembering what it was like and what it might have been. And it's haunting them to various degrees. So, you know, I thought, okay, I could make an entire mixtape of just those types of songs, but I wanted to sort of create a cycle about how this plays out in, say, someone's life, even in a night. So I sort of divided the mixtape into two parts. The first part is the anticipation. You know, people are going out. It's nighttime. Dusk is falling. People are getting ready for the evening. They're going out. And the first six, seven, eight songs are about this night out. And then the second half is about the night coming to an end and these memories start flooding back. It seems like that time between 2 and 6 in the morning seems to be that time when, if we're still up, these are the kind of things we think about. And a lot of these songs were reflecting that. The part of the mixtape I want to highlight begins with the Oblivions with a song called Call the Police. This is a great Memphis group that just put out their first album in like a decade called Desperation. And on this song, you can tell the night has officially gotten out of hand. Things are completely up for grabs at this point. I follow that up with Palma Violets, a band out of the UK, with a song called Best of Friends. And the stagger home begins at this point. We're now at about 2 or 3 in the morning, and this guy is stumbling out of the club or the bar, and he's shouting out the names of these women that he clearly admires. He loves them on a number of levels. It's not just kind of, I want to go home and go to sleep with somebody. I want this person in my life. I want a best friend. But he doesn't have them as best friends. Followed up by Sam Phillips with Things I Shouldn't Have Told You. There's a line in there, the dead are alive sometimes more than the living. Then I go to Guards, a great new band, with a song called Not Supposed To that has been haunting me all year long. I've loved it since I heard them perform it at South by Southwest in March. Again, holding on to something that you never had, this sort of feeling that it's right there in front of you and yet I can't have it. And finally, with Eleanor Friedberger, a song called I Am the Past, it kind of this Baroque pop thing, you know, where she's talking about reconciling yourself to the person you used to be, which is another take on this whole ghost theme. You know, I'm not this person I was 10 years ago. So here are five songs from my 2013 mixtape on Sound Opinions.
I'm a hair clicking beer, drinking soda cold, I'ma bring it on. Ain't nothing like a party, and baby, I ain't never going home. I've got my drink in my hand, ain't partied since I don't know when. I'm gonna dance all night and start all over again. Jambalaya, pumpkin pie, gumbo, creole chicken wings.
Jackson a pleasure is done with just a few words. You could convert this to cash. Your eyes could take anyone. Things I shouldn't have told you. Live your life so whenever you lose, you're ahead. The dead are alive, sometimes more than the living. Things I shouldn't have told you.
You're listening to Sound Opinions and my 2013 mixtape.
Time of the year. you'll never forget me. I'd probably come back and stay if you'd let me. I am the past and you cannot ignore me. You've got no idea what happened before me. I'm your first time, I'm the worst, I'm the best time you ever rehearsed. I'm the ghost of ex-girlfriends, but mostly I'm me. I'm the past to infinity. Memories you can pull up by the roots. I am the past, a glint in the eye, a million hellos and one less goodbye. I'm your first time, I'm the best, I'm the worst you were ever obsessed. I'm the ghost of old girlfriends in nursery rhyme. I'm the past for our time.
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and you can hear the entirety of my mixtape as well as Jim DeRogatis's at soundopinions.org. Working backward from what you just heard there, that was Eleanor Friedberger with I Am the Past, Guards with Not Supposed To, Sam Phillips with Things I Shouldn't Have Told You, Palma Violets with Best of Friends, and beginning with The Oblivions, Call the Police.
Once again, Mr. Cott, I am in awe of the level with which you go into this mixtape. What do we have on the show next week?
Next week, Jim, we have a performance from the Mexican duo Rodrigo and Gabriela.
Greg, as always, we have some thank yous to say on the way out. Sound Opinions is produced by Jason Saldana, Robin Lynn, Anthony Martinez, and our intern is Jake Smith. Speaking of poptimism, this is actually the anniversary of Billboard introducing its pop music chart in 1936. The first big hit? Big band violinist Joe Venuti, who would of course go on to collaborate with Robin Thicke.
I was sleeping, gently napping, when I heard the phone. Who is on the other end talking? Am I even home? Did you see what she did to him? Did you hear what they said? Just a New York conversation rattling in my head.
Oh, on Sound Opinions, everyone's a critic. So give us a call on our hotline, 888-859-1800.
New messages.
Hi, this is Mike in Des Plaines. I listened with great interest to your show a couple days ago about heavy metal. There was one song, though, that was formative in heavy metal, which you did not mention. A one-hit wonder by a band called The Bubble Puppy called Hot Smoke and Sassafras.
In the midst of sassafras, many things will come to pass. And the smoke shall rise again to the place above where it began.
Rumor has that they were not actually musicians. They were actually a group of FBI agents who tried to infiltrate drug trafficking in the music industry, and they accidentally had a hit song. I don't know if it's true or not, keep up the good work. Thanks for everything. Bye.
This is Cameron from Long Beach. Beth wanted to say thanks again for your metal show, and I'm happy that you mentioned stoner metal, but I couldn't believe that you didn't mention the stoner metal band, Sleep, and especially their magnum opus, Dope Smoker, a record that consists of a single 63-minute track. Realize that metal just as easily as being heavy or thrashing could also be meditative, taking a lot from drone and noise and experimental music. You should really check them out. Thanks so much. Great show. Bye.
Jim, Greg, this is Mark calling from the Inland Empire of Los Angeles, California. Love the metal show. Love to hear Sabbath and the Priest getting props, as they should. But, dudes, Van Halen! I don't think you mentioned them. Van Halen's first album is one of the greatest metal records ever made, and it also sold over 10 million copies. Surely 10 million Hessians aren't wrong. We just chalk it up to simple error of omission, I guess. Okay, bye.
Hi, this is Jessie. I'm calling from Zurich, Switzerland. I like when y'all do lists, and I know that it's a really cheesy request, but I was wondering if you'd ever do a show about not necessarily gym music, but music that makes people move, like running music or any kind of music that makes one want to move around. New Year. People are making resolutions for health. Maybe it would be a good idea. I know I'd love it. Thank you.
No more messages.
To give us your opinions on Sound Opinions, call our hotline, 888-859-1800. We'll be back next week with more Sound Opinions, produced by WBEZ Chicago and distributed by PRX.